This is how we know we're adults now.
Yeah, reaching grumpy old at man stage.
There's
pretty quickly.
Things,
like,
I could build a computer, or I could just buy one. I could get a couple of pizzas and a bunch of beers to have my friends help me move, or I could just hire movers.
Yeah.
Like these are old people.
I could go
now.
To class, but then I got high.
Then I got high.
Yep. Then I got high.
Yeah, da 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 da. Greetings, Apropossi, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
Oh, wow.
Oh, God.
It looks like James needs a drink.
I do now, yeah.
I've been drinking. Was that not supposed to be? I feel like when we record online, like, you're allowed to just start.
Oh, yeah.
And also pre-game. In person.
Yeah.
We absolutely pregame. I have not opened mine yet, but I will. Know.
I've
been opening mine in just a second here. What are you drinking, Jenna?
Well, I'm drinking Twisted Tea Original because it's what was in my fridge.
Awesome.
I've actually gotten, like, it's just kind of become my go-to, I just want a chill drink kind of a thing. I still love my mojitos, don't get me wrong. But sometimes I just need something that's just kind of casual, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where the Twisted Tea has come in. It's really just become my casual drink.
And they're tasty.
It's the PBR of my boozes.
Ooh. Yeah.
Well, and especially on a hot day, they're tasty.
So good on a hot day. So yeah.
Yeah. Truly. No shade there. Yeah. James.
I am drinking, an Angry Orchard Hardcore Dark Cherry Apple. It's delicious.
Yeah,
I'm not a huge fan of them.
I get that.
Is it the dark cherry? Do you don't like, or do
I
you
generally
like?
Like dark cherry, but there's a certain level of tartness to the dryness of that one that I'm just like, no, it's not quite. It's just if it was a little bit sweeter, I would be 100% down. Even with the tartness, if there was some more sweet in there.
Gotcha.
And just not this dry
ass. It's the balance, not so much a flavor.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That exactly.
And right. See, for me, the balance on this is much more to my taste versus the having something that's candy like.
I love candy.
Well,
right. I also.
And this treat.
Yeah, but James,
I also enjoy candy.
You like candy that is bad, though.
That's candy.
We have had this conversation.
Yes. You like candy corn and circus peanuts. That's not candy. That's toe fungus.
I could have been getting this so much more cheaply then.
I am drinking. Hey, remember when I said my wife was in Canada a couple of weeks back?
Yeah.
And she brought me back some beer from Canada. I am drinking a From Sleeping Giant Brewing Company.
Ooh.
I am drinking a Love Equals Love.
Aww.
And remember when I said their artwork was on point?
Oh,
that
wow.
Is glorious.
That's like a Lisa Frank notebook.
Yeah. It's pretty fucking
Could
fantastic.
Use a little more sparkle, but that's pretty fucking.
Some comments.
Yeah.
It says this is a raspberry sour.
God.
And it says, by purchasing this beer, you're supporting the Rainbow Collective of Thunder Bay Community Microgrants Initiative.
Rat.
Every dollar raised for this initiative will go back to the gender and sexual diversity communities in Thunder Bay and Northwestern Ontario.
Yay!
That's amazing.
Well, way to support the gays with your alcoholism.
Oh, that's really good.
Hmm.
Yeah?
It's
just a good beer, just a solid beer. Wow, he's going back for another.
I know. It's
usually sour beers are very punch you in the face sour. And this has it's sour, but not obnoxiously so. And like the flavor hits the back of my throat, but not the front of my tongue.
Ooh.
If that makes sense.
Stain. All right.
It's really good. It's really, really good.
Huh.
Mm.
No, all about that.
Well, all right then.
All right.
Sweet.
So, yeah, what you been up to?
You want me to go first? I might be at it for a while.
No.
Sucker, I'm going anyway.
All right. Well, do we want to leave you last? All right. Off
we can leave me last. No, nope. Fine.
No, whatever. Go for it. Nope. We do that all the time. It's Jenna's turn.
Yep.
To be last?
Yes.
All right.
But
James,
also,
what have you been up to? Last. God damn it. All right. So I believe last podcast I talked about Joe moving in.
Yeah.
There are still boxes all over my dining room. Because apparently he and I have to do things like work. And yeah, there just hasn't been a lot of time to go through things. It's a very slow process and it's a little aggravating for me because I love having everything in its place and I do not do well with disarray in my home. Surprise. The only thing that gives me solace in this time is that it also aggravates the hell out of Joe. So, like, he and I are both of very similar mindsets on this. So, like, every once in a while, Joe will be like, I'm sorry, my stuff is all over the place. I'm like, hey, it's affecting you just as much as it's affecting me. He's like, I know, but I also know it's affecting you, and that bothers me. And I'm like, I get that, but I'm delighting in the fact that it also bothers you as much as it bothers me. Oh, God. Yeah.
You two are made for each other. Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, things are a shambles. I did get some bookshelves that we were waiting on for some of Joe's stuff. So that part was on me. But they match my other bookshelves. So we had to wait for them. Like, I had to get those bookshelves and they were a little back ordered and finally got them and okay. So now now there's no excuse.
I mean, there's plenty of excuses. That's the whole point of excuses.
Anyway. So
this is why Jenna and I would strongly never be able to live together.
Oh, oh yeah. That's why. Yeah. Just that though. Right.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Otherwise, fully compatible.
But, I mean, we have now lived together for a week. For as much as either of us has been in the house. between him working and me doing fringe stuff and our schedules being off balance and all the rest of that. But, I mean, it's going great so far. So, knock on wood that continues. Because I don't want to have to kick him out in 6 weeks. His name's on the lease and everything. So,
I mean, he doesn't have to be there as long as he keeps paying.
Ooh. I hadn't thought of that.
No, as long as the rent is fully paid, it doesn't matter if all people on a lease are physically are there. As long as no unlawful subletting is taking place.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am actually enjoying having Joe around more, even if I don't get to see him a lot. Right now. That'll die down. The busyness and insanity.
I thought the enjoyment was what...
I mean, it's possible that might get a little extra comfortable shoe eventually, but... but no, just like having him around. He does things like dishes and takes out the trash without me having to pester him, which is great. And then I do things like I make the coffee and I clean the bathroom without him having to pester me. It's working out fantastic. So, yeah, but I haven't seen a lot of them because the Fringe Festival. So I basically missed. Huh?
What's that?
It's a Klingon thing.
Okay.
take that, asshole. But no, so I basically missed the first 4 days of Fringe. because Joe was moving in, right?
Yeah.
So then I tried to like make up for it a little bit. Man, I am not as old as I used to be. I know what I said. That's the amusement in that, salsa. Don't look at me like that.
I look at you this
don't
way.
Don't look at me
always.
With that face.
Yeah, don't look at me with that face.
This is my
face. Or your other face. No, yeah. Put on a different face.
Wipe that face off your head.
That might be an improvement.
Some of it is an improvement.
Whatever.
What I don't like about the face that he's making is that it's going to be difficult for him to drink through that face that he's making.
Oh, God.
And that means that he'll do more talking. So
you better
go back to the one that you
Whatever.
Can drink through.
Yeah. Pick a drinkable face.
Oh, yeah. Yep. All right.
So I then tried to get a bunch of Frenching done. I did see 17 shows, which is pretty hardcore, like 3 to 4 a night for what I could do and all of that. I did some fest prep on Saturday. It was really funny because I went to go help out at the Oaks, and nobody was there. I got there at like 9 or 10 or something. And I was like, all right, I'll come back. And I went to help some boothies with their stuff. And I came back and there was Raiderly, but no salsa.
Optimal configuration, like, honestly.
I mean, absolutely. In general, yeah. But Raiderly was like, we're waiting for salsa for some stuff. And I was like, all right, I'll check back later. And then I got my stuff situated, helped out Boothie's some more, came back to the Oaks, and Raiderly's like, well, it's all set up. And I'm like, yeah. Well, all right, then. I tried three times. So
before the cock crew. Yeah.
Right. But here's the thing about my platform. I was not able to get as much done with it as I wanted to, because I have the wooden structure, like the support frame, for holding up my tarp and everything. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very tall and, I continuously get water bubbles in between the support points. Right.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, this year I've been talking about it, but this year, I'm going to get chicken wire. I'm going to put it on the top like I'm roofing the damn thing. And then the tarp's going to go over that and I won't get any bubbling.
Okay.
Right?
No.
Other people do this too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can see it on other structures out there, James.
Yeah.
I've thought about it in the past. I would have gone with the wooden lattice just because it's a little stronger, but.
This was purely a financial decision.
Sure. Okay.
That's very fair.
I managed to find some chicken wire relatively cheap.
Awesome.
For the amount of space that I needed to cover. So I was like, all right. So I ordered it and it was supposed to show up on the Thursday, like last Thursday. Ooh. And it was like, oh, it's going to be Friday instead. And I was like, okay. So then Friday, it doesn't show up. It doesn't show up. And then at like 4 p.m., oh, it might not be here till next week. And I was like, son of a bitch.
That's quite a jump.
That's a bit of a jump. So I already talked to Josh, who is the kindest human being on the face of the planet right now. That could change in 5 minutes. Make me an offer. But do something nice for you, for me, and then you become the kindest person. That's how this works. But no, Josh was
Jenna
like,
is
well,
a capricious god.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
Definitely true.
Absolutely. Anyway, Josh was like, well, I'll be out early on Friday. And he was the one that was going to help me with the chicken wire on Saturday. He has ladders and a staple gun and like everything necessary to do that.
Huh.
So I'm going to get out to site early on Friday to get everything set up.
Wow.
I was able to like take care of the weeds and leaves and some of that stuff. Get some things trimmed back a bit so that it's not as difficult to do everything. But like that was it. That's all I was able to do for my stuff. So I'm just like, well. Yep, this is just all going to happen on Friday. I'm not excited about that. I am not happy about that at all. But what you gonna do? So yeah, we came to all that decision. I helped everybody else with all of their stuff. And then I got back home, probably about, 1.5-2 hours before I needed to be to my next fringe thing. And as I pull up, there's somebody leaving my porch. And on my porch is my delivery of chicken wire. Uh-huh.
Catch any chickens?
Nope.
Bullshit.
So yeah, that was I just looked at it sitting on my porch and I was like, you motherfucker. Goddamn motherfucker. How fucking dare you? And just yelled at my chicken wire for a few minutes. I shamed it properly, and then I accepted my lot in life.
but yeah. I don't know either.
Yes, Salsa.
The Cock Crew is the name of my backup dancer group.
Oh, very nice.
All piece.
Yeah. The combs, hot combs. Anyway,
it's a barbershop.
Anyway, I also did platform stuff out at Fest. So I believe this has been mentioned, but we're on a new platform this year, a bigger platform, which is exciting.
I do want to be clear. Oh. I want to come back to one more thing, but you can.
Oh, sorry.
You can
I think we're done.
We can come back. It's just such a lovely segue. I hate to break it up. But then I did more Fringe stuff and we had the closing ceremonies for Fringe. Mm. And here's the thing. Duck's show was fucking incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The show that I helped direct, but is really just Duck's show, was hands down an exceptional fucking show.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things.
Reviewers loved it. Like across the board, people were always like, I would be in line for something else and people would still be talking about it. And having conversations and all of the rest of this. It was a phenomenal show. We did not win any awards for it.
Boo.
But that doesn't stop it from having been an incredible show. It was just like, aw. I mean, apparently we got close, so that's nice, but yeah. So that was the last bit I wanted to talk about on that is that we did that show. I think every show had standing ovations. Everybody at like my favorite game to play was how many people are crying. Here's the thing. Like there's a part, friend Jenna gets sad when her friends cry. Director Jenna is giddy when the audience cries. Like, because there were very sad points. There was a lot of comedy, but there were also some just very heavy heartfelt moments. And just sad fucking things in the show. And the final show wraps up, and I'm gonna help with loadout, right? Because we're done, so get your shit out of here. I'm going down towards the stage to help with loadout, and one of my friends is there, and she's just got tears running down her face, and I'm like, did you cry? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, do you need a hug? And she's like, yeah. And so I'm just like hugging this poor person that like, I was like, did you like the show? She's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. Like, so yeah, it was a very moving show. It was very powerful. And James got to see it.
I did.
Yeah. Anything specific you want to talk about from that show?
When it's my turn. Okay. I'll hang on to it.
So, no, and that was ahead. One of the reasons.
Oh. Jenna.
Yeah, no, I genuinely thought Jenna was done, so which is why.
No, I am done now. That's
right.
That's
but it was such a great segue that I figured I'd jump, but now it's a better segue for you, so go.
Oh, sure. Right. All right. Well, so as is tradition, I will go and see a shit ton of Fringe shows with a friend of the podcast, Jen Jensen.
Sure.
We had a marvelous time.
Jen saw it like twice.
Yeah. We saw the previews together and then had a planned night with 1992, Romeo and Juliet Are Dead. We saw in that same night. So other things, everything was really pretty ridiculously great. And then I was desperate to see Duck's show, because I always love going to stuff the Duck has done, and I love seeing things that you have directed. And so that seems like the apex of those two lines.
So this was two birds with one Fringe stone.
And so I sent Jen a message and I was like, I know we don't have plans, but could I ask a substantial favor? Would it be okay if I tagged along with you for Fringe? And then, would it be okay if we saw Duck's show? And we had a bit of a conversation. And she said, I'm not sure what show I want to see for the final show slot. I've already seen Duck's show and it's good. It's really heavy, but it's, you know, like it's worth seeing. So I really encourage you to go and do that. And I was like, yeah, you know, I would spend $20, basically $20 to go and see that. So,
don't get me started on ticket prices this year.
Yeah. And I was ready to do that. And we saw, four plays the one night, and then ended up seeing four plays on Sunday.
Sure.
Because I was like, I just dropped the RV off at Fest and got everything wired up, and I sweated myself half to death, and I'm exhausted, and just like, maybe I go home. You know, maybe I just fucking go home. But then I sent Jen a message and I was like, yeah, you know, I was thinking maybe I'd meet up with you. And she was like, yeah, I went home to go and get some sleep. But I'm headed back there. So if you want to meet me to see this show that I was interested in, NPC, non-playable character or non-player character. And I was like, fuck, I did want to see that.
Hmm.
She goes, yeah. And then I'm going to go see Deep in Bear Country. And I was like, yeah, she told me about that one. And that one sounded really good, too. There was one other. I went and saw those. And then we ended up bumping into, again, friend of the podcast and erstwhile occasional guest, Mike D. And
yes.
We were having such a good time seeing a bunch of shows, the three of us, and we just decided, like, Jen was like, you know what? You two haven't seen Duck's show and I'm having such a blast hanging out with, let's just go. We have to hurry, but let's just go. So we trucked it over there. And I felt so bad because it was the Southern Theater from the Rarig Center, which is kind of a hike in a short amount of time. Not the worst I've ever done, but
right.
But she injured her leg. on like last Monday. She was attacked by a wild scooter, and she's got this fabulous bruise, and like scuffed up her knee and that kind of stuff, and was just having a real rough time. And I was like, "Are you sure that's going to be okay? I don't want to tell you what you can't do, but I also want to listen if there." And she's like, "No, we're going. All right,
okay."
So, yeah, we hauled ass over to the Southern, where we met up with friend Allison, and we just hanging out, having a great time. Caught Duck's show as the last show in the in our fringe, and holy fuck, it was good.
You don't have to worry about spoilers at this point, so yeah. Please feel free.
Well, so the Cliff's notes on it is that for the last like year or two, I've had a thought rolling around in my head about doing a fringe show about what being a good person would be, and how that has changed for me in my life, and the way that my parents play into that, and movie role models, and all of these things. And then Duck goes and does that show better, and directed by Jenna Young. And so it was a fantastic show. There's a lot of extraordinarily absurd stuff that he does as a way to keep the audience thoroughly engaged. It is thoroughly engaging. Climbing a model volcano with some Barbies and completely reenacting, I think, the entirety of the movie Joe versus the Volcano.
Pretty much, yeah.
In a very like 5 minute Shakespeare Company kind of way.
Right.
And it was so, it hit all of the important notes, and the discussion on what makes like what heroism actually is, and what it could be or what it should be. I felt was amazing. And then I think it was just before the program started, though, that Jen leaned over and she said, you got a special thanks on the program. And I was like, for what? What did I do? And when Duck was writing the show quite a while ago, mm-hmm. he had asked people what heroism was for them, and then thanked people when he used some or all of their answers.
Yeah.
Some part or yeah. And so he had used something that I'd said in the show, and that just felt so gratifying and incredible. But the true life stories that he tells are,
oh my God,
heartbreaking and complex and important and fucking, I'm paying rapt attention to every word, and as a show, I think it was astounding. And
may I add a little bit here?
Yeah, please. Yeah, absolutely.
So the show itself is a one-man show where Duck explores the concept of heroism. And as James talked about a little bit, he does use some vignettes to transition concepts and ideas. He uses a conversation with his father to introduce kind of the feeling that things might get heavy. His father was a war vet. But that conversation happens when he's playing with like Little Duck is playing with G.I. Joes, And so Duck introduces the G.I. Joes first and just, I loved Hero. I love G.I. Joes. There was more than one brown one. There was more than one girl one. Right? Just introducing these comedy things. And then he starts to bring the focus into some of this harder stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, the first half is generally lighter with hints of heaviness. The second half is more heaviness with a bunch of light stuff kind of thrown in here and there.
Yeah.
And it's, he talks about Star Wars. He talks about G.I. Joes. He talks about Joe versus the Volcano. He talks about George Floyd. He talks about his dad. He talks about his mom. He talks about a time where he actually prevented a woman from jumping off of a bridge.
Right.
And
like physically intervened.
Yep. And yeah. How that affected him emotionally and how he was wondering, did I have the right to stop her from doing that with my big body getting in the way of her decisions?
Right.
And just these ideas of guilt. And then he was let know through means, whatever, not her directly, but that she was okay and that he did actually basically save her life that day. Yeah. And that she was doing better. And then the feeling of relief that came after that.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how he doesn't always step up to be a hero. He's like, it's scary. Sometimes there are other things that get in the way. And the whole thing kind of comes together in this call to action of, I can't be the only hero out there. I need everybody to step up their fucking game.
Yeah.
But it comes without judgment. It's one of those calls to action that, like, he's like, I get it, man. It's scary. But, like, also, we should do better. And it's not... So it's just kind of this vulnerable, non-judgmental way of bringing that call to action. And for me, like, that was the height of that show, was because there are very few people that can balance that kind of call to action and non-judgmentalism or non-criticism as well as Duck can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's... To give more about the actual show itself, like the ebbs and flows of it. And it was, I saw that show because I was in rehearsals. I read the script. I went through rehearsals. I cried during the table read. I always got misty during rehearsals, whether I wanted to or mm-hmm. not. I was misty at the opening and I was still misty at the closing show. Because it's just, it's that emotionally moving. So yeah. And then also I got to help, but yeah, so that was, I wanted our listeners to have an understanding of what the show was a kind of a actual moving through the themes and the story kind of
thing. Well, and what was weird was that it turned out that all of the shows that I saw on Sunday were one person shows.
This was the year for one person shows. There were so many of them this year.
Seems like, because like NPC one person show, absolutely crammed, absolutely packed full. Somebody talking about, trying not to be as a weird juxtaposition, not writing that set of stories, not as the hero of his own show, but as an NPC in the stories.
Right.
And that's a weird, mm-hmm. then the other one, Lost in Bear Country, was, it reminded me a lot of Jeffrey Brown's stand up and music with his, like when he's talking about, like, I have ADD, ADHD. He'll launch into a song, get distracted by something, and do something funny with it. But then he'll be like, "Where the fuck was I?" And then go back to, you know, the middle of the song, and then and that kind of thing. It was the fifth of the Lost in Bear Country. It's just a guy spinning a wheel, picking whatever topic, and launching into stories from his own life, and then shit that he knows about Berenstain Bears that relates to that, where he's like, okay, these are the books that have to do with that subject. And this is the extremely weird niche thing about these books and this thing. And this is a still image from one of these books that's, you know, like copied out from, and any one of these images would be an absolutely amazing tattoo, wouldn't it? Look at these, like, it's fucking sure. Great. And he's covering love, birth, sports, racism, all kinds of stuff. And then as a change for the final show of this Fringe run, whoosh, the sheet comes off of the wheel, and all of the spaces are marked death.
Oh. Well, all right then.
I don't know which one we're going to talk about, but I got a good feeling about tonight.
I mean, here's the thing. We could go on.
Yeah.
Like, I saw so many good shows that we could talk about. Specifically wanted to hit up Ducks because, you know, it was
right.
Very involved.
It was very weird for me that I saw three different one-person shows that dealt with heroism from a different
perspective each time.
From a different perspective each time. All sort of in one sitting by accident.
Sure.
Not a curated set list.
Sure.
By any means. That. Yeah.
And that's that is one of the most Fringe experience you can have. Truly. So well done, James.
Yeah.
What else have you been up to? Like, we've been talking for a while, and Sulce is just like...
Mm. Well, there is a reason that I am recording remotely.
All right.
There's a reason that we are remote this evening, and that is Jax was away in Chicago doing an art fair and had a miserable time and felt increasingly awful and ill toward the end of it. Came home, mentioned that they had a cough and body aches and... were exhausted, and I said, let's get you a COVID test. And this was before we had even like hugged. They just come in, flopped on the beanbag that's in the front room, and I had started getting their bed ready for them, and brought them a COVID test, and I'm, you know, putting the fitted sheet on and everything, and the mattress is banana shaped because that's how that works. And and they said, well, that's terrible news, but at least we know why I'm feeling bad. And sure. they have a positive test, and I am struggling with it because I would like very much to take care of them. I have obligations this evening that are, or not this evening, this week that are contractual and also that I am passionate about. I'm going to be in Murder on the Mississippi, on the Mississippi, Murder Mystery on the Mississippi, and
Murder Boat
Murder Boat on Thursday, and I'm also going to be at Fest this weekend. Not that either of you would know about, right?
I know nothing.
And so I do. I have to be careful, in order to do the things that I have promised to do. I have to be careful, and find ways to take good care of them and be supportive while also
protecting yourself to be able to protect those around you, basically.
And it is awful because they were away for 5 days and I was looking forward to nothing more than spending this whole day. I took today off. I was just going to spend today, you know, running errands with them and watching TV and traveling. And this fucking sucks. I stayed up until 3 a.m. getting them medications and like prepping their room for quarantine.
Right.
All of those things. And then telling them, you know, we were double masking whenever we were in the same room, not spending time in the same room for more than a minute or two. And so I was prepping their room and then telling them that they could go in to their room. And it sucks. It sucks real bad.
Yeah. So,
and while I'm getting everything hooked up on the camper and getting everything reassembled and ready for this run, I'm thinking the whole time about like how comfortable it's going to be for the two of us and that kind of thing. And they're not going to be out there this weekend. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you get for going to Chicago.
Damn it, Chicago. Chicago has given us so many shitty things.
COVID is the malort of diseases.
Yep. There you go. Yep.
Yep.
That's what I was looking for. So, again, sympathies. That fucking sucks. Salsa, what have you been up to? Did you do anything with the platform over the weekend? Oh, all right.
After
all that fringe stuff and now this stuff, I'm just like, I don't want to follow that.
Oh.
What did I do? I set up a platform.
Kitchen?
Well, like I said, we're on a new platform this year.
Right.
And the people that used to be on the platform had been considering retiring for a few years. And so for the past few years, instead of doing a lot of needed repairs on that platform, they've kind of been limping along of one more year. And so it needed a lot of work.
Massive repair.
We looked at it and we went, this needs to be completely rebuilt.
How does it feel now that it's rebuilt, though? How are you?
Pretty good. It's huge, though. It's 12 by 24.
By 24, yeah.
It's not a tiny platform, so it took a lot of fucking work.
Sure.
And I finished on... So we got done on Saturday, and there was like 15 boards, your decking boards that still needed to get laid down. But like my battery on my drill was done. The battery on the salsa was also done. Yeah. Oh yeah. I was also just pretty exhausted at this point. And so I was just like, okay, we're going to leave. It's going to rain on Sunday all day. And so I'll just rest on Sunday and then
like God.
Come on Monday or Tuesday, come out and finish it up. And then we woke up on Sunday morning and it wasn't going to rain until 3. And my body went, no. As my brain went, here
you shut up and do what you're told.
Here we fucking go. This has got to get done. And my body went, you said we could rest.
If anything, this is the best preparation for a fest day.
Pretty much, yeah.
Waking up and having your body go,
you said I could rest. My brain going, no, we gotta fucking do this. Let's go.
We're
gonna go out on Wednesday and actually put up the tent itself.
Nice.
But Yeah, getting ready for Fest. That's what I'm doing.
So not Friday, but Wednesday, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Thursday, we'll be making trips to bring all of this stuff out there.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. 7 weekends worth of furniture.
Pretty much. Yeah, we got to get the bed out there and the kids' cots and the wardrobe and, you know, the dresser and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the chaise longue.
The chaise longue. I wish I could have a chaise longue. Although those kids' cots are pretty chaise longue-ish sometimes.
Yeah, there is that.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of prep work, but we're almost here.
Hmm.
I haven't even looked at my stage yet, so I don't even know what's going to happen with that. But Robin Hood Show and Fondazzi have been out there, so like the stage is getting clean and taken care of. It's not like nothing is being touched. I'm not worried about it. They would have said something. But it's just I haven't gotten
you
my
slacker.
Stuff. Yeah, I haven't gotten my stuff out there yet. I don't have my gear. I don't have my microphone out there yet. I don't have my equipment. So I got to get that all out there for opening weekend. Fast approaching.
Soon.
Oh, and hey, by the way, dear listeners, if you're listening to this and you want to visit the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, be prepared because parking is not free anymore.
Oh, my God.
Something to be fully aware of in order to mitigate the huge, insane parking problems that we had last year with lines stretched for literal miles and some people waiting for up to 2 hours to park. They have now instigated parking fees if you want to park at the site. Otherwise, there are many, many park and ride options. By making it not free anymore, they're kind of encouraging people to use those park and ride options. So before you come to the Minnesota Renaissance Festival, go to the website, research your different options, and plan ahead.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you can if you're willing to pay for it, you can still park out there.
Although they have a limited number of spots.
They do still have a limited number, and it's significantly cheaper if you buy ahead opposed to just showing up. Definitely plan ahead.
Yeah.
So trying to get the word out as much as possible on that.
Yeah, well, when I was in Fringe Line, I was talking with somebody, and they're like, yeah, I got some comps, so I think I'm going to go this year. And I was like, so be aware of the parking situation. And they were like, what?
Yeah.
Because they're like, I was going to bring my dog out. And I was like, you should bring your dog out, because your dog is adorable. I've met it, and it loves this kind of shit. But also, here's the parking situation. So figure out those plans ahead of time. It's sadly necessary to do these kinds of things, but
the parking situation over the past couple of years has been untenable, and something had to change. And this is the option that they went with, is try to encourage people because their park and ride is not something new. It's expanded this year, but they've had park and ride in the past, but this is really to say, no, seriously, use this option.
Yeah. Unless you have very specific needs, this is probably the better way to go about it.
It might be. Depending on how many people you have going and how many people you can fit in your vehicle, it may be more cost effective.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I'm saying,
I'm not telling
people what to do. I'm saying go to the website and
Google it. Do your own research.
Find out and plan ahead.
So. Educate yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Just like every keyboard warrior has ever said.
Yeah. Every Wikipedia doctorate. Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
I hate myself right now.
That's okay, Jenna. I hate you too. Should we take a break?
I wouldn't have it any other way. Sounds about breakish.
Let's take a break.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Say Levy.
Is it
Levy?
Thank you for being that asshole I knew you were.
Damn it.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
I guess.
What are we doing?
I don't actually know what we're doing. Are we doing another thing or are we? I have a topic.
I don't care. You have a topic? All right.
I do.
Let's fucking do that. Not like I have to drive anywhere. So.
Yeah. So, so this happened to me today. And I needed a shower after it happened because just felt so fucking disgusting. I have a client at work who is a brand that is frustrating me. And I was complaining to my wife. I was like, I'm never giving them any of my money because
Russell Brand,
because I'm so angry at them. Oh. And she was like, I'm not familiar with this brand. And I was like, oh, well, you know, so I Googled it and like showed her so she could see like the logo and like what they do.
Right.
And less than an hour later, I got an email to my Casimir email account from PayPal saying, hey, PayPal will give you a 20% discount if you shop at this company.
Oh, shit.
And I was so nauseated by getting that email. Because you know that they're paying attention to everything you're doing.
Yeah.
You know. But to have it that blatantly plastered in your face like that, they sent me an email saying, get a discount on this brand from PayPal. I was so disgusted. It made me sick to my stomach.
That is so...
And I hate it. Awful. I hate it so, so hard. And there's not a fucking thing we can do about it in this day and age unless you go completely 100% Luddite.
Yep.
Right.
It's just the way shit is now. And I fucking hate it. Advertisers should be ashamed of themselves and should, like, how do they sleep at night? I don't get it. I hate it. I hate
how
it.
Do you sleep at night on top of a pile of money?
I don't know. I don't know how far we can go on this topic, but I had to get that out because it was
I have a thing that is tangentially related anyway. So there is a company that all three of us have worked at.
Yes.
Under different names and iterations.
To
various degrees of success. And one of the jobs that I had there was ad trafficker. I was also the ad code expert because I had development and the trafficking expertise. So
yeah, and trafficking is exactly what it is.
It really is. I am sorry, internet. I am the person who would. I didn't create this. I want to be clear. Somebody else came up with this fucking stupid ass idea, but I had to for our company create the code that would allow that full splash page ad that would come up and you'd have to click away. Yeah, I'm sorry. I have very few regrets in life. But and other similar awkward advertising things, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't do the advertising. I just came up with a code to make something that was already sold and existed.
Yeah, somebody else imagined and came up with. You just had to implement it. But it was somebody else's idea.
Well, and honestly, it would be something that somebody else had implemented elsewhere on the internet. But I had to make it work with our system.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was already out there. It was going to happen one way or the mm-hmm. other, but I still don't feel good about it. Yeah. Anyway, one of the things that, so we used a specific company that was very large for ad trafficking at the time, where you would put in keywords and how many clicks that they were sold or how many impressions they were sold and all of these other things, so that it basically managed all of the algorithms to make sure that the ads got out often enough or received enough clicks or whatever, and would rotate through the ads to make sure that everybody got what they paid for, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Basically. And the idea of keywords was that you could line up advertising specific to, and this is like back in the mid aughts, right? Mm-hmm. Like 2005. And the idea was, well, if somebody is reading an article on, I don't know, Tylenol, maybe you get an ad for Tylenol or other pain relievers or whatever, right? Like, it wasn't nearly as specific as it is nowadays.
Yeah.
But the company that we all worked for was a news aggregate company.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. News aggregate on the internet. So one day, I'm in the office, and somebody comes up to me, and they're like, Jenna, we need to get this ad taken out of rotation right the fuck now. And I was like, okay, what the hell? There was a news article on a very unfortunate thing that happened on a Disney roller coaster.
Yep.
And the ad that was coming up by keyword was an advertisement to go to the wonders of Disneyland. Not the appropriate placement you get that out of there now. And like, it was one click for me to be like, pause campaign, but like, yeah. That was not the user experience or even client experience that was requested.
Mm-hmm.
So like, one of the things that I love about that is that it does give me hope, because computers still to this day, even with AI stuff, can only do what we tell it to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we're getting better at telling computers to do things without our intervention and have it get better at guessing what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But they still can only do what we tell them to do. Even with like AI stuff, like chatbots, things like that, mm-hmm. they have the capability to learn from other things that we have told it to learn from other things.
Mm-hmm.
But that means that if you don't tell it what other things to learn from, it's just not going to work appropriately, right?
Yeah.
It's just going to be like, I'm learning things, and it's not really.
On the other hand, though, that also means that a person, ostensibly with a brain, said, hey, you know what I should do? Is I should email somebody with discounts to a website they just went to an hour ago.
I don't think so.
A person coded the computer to do that.
Yeah.
They're going to Google something. We're going to scrape that information, sell it to PayPal, and PayPal is going to send them a discount. Somebody thought that up. A person with a brain thought that up. Disturbs the fuck out of me.
It may even, depending on what technology was used, for example, a lot of phones have now a setting that says ask a specific app not to track other app usage.
Yeah.
Because things like PayPal, for example, might be able to track things that you're typing into your Amazon.
Sure. No, right. Details for how it works specifically aside, mm-hmm. somebody thought that scheme up and thought it was a good idea.
Yep.
Well, I mean,
and the level of invasiveness is horrifying.
It's not especially. Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
I mean, what I'm going to say is, on the one hand, you did click the I agree button somewhere along the way. That's what all of those say.
Oh, right? I know. I'm aware.
On that hand, you did technically give permission.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there is no way to internet without doing that. Like, it's a strong arm situation.
Yeah, it's a full screen that you cannot get past until you click yes.
Yeah, it's a strong arm situation. But the argument is that you gave permission. If you don't want those things to happen, you could just not. So like, there's like, this is where things get to me, like inside my very, like, following the letter of the law kind of situation, because that's how my brain wants to do things. Makes me great at operations.
I said at the beginning, that's just the way things are now. This is completely old man yells at clouds situation.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, that's entirely. This is the reality of the world we live in, and that's, I just need to get over this. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not.
Right.
I'm not over it. I hate it.
Well, to use an example from some of our collective, very real world experiences, this has always been that, like, we have the phrase ambulance chaser. Right.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Oh, no, this is nothing new. This is just the newest iteration of it.
It's just an implementation.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we had the hailstorm 2 days ago, I came home to find a home remodeling and roofing card tucked in behind my doorbell. Yeah, and they're sharks.
I had that guy ring the doorbell. Kids were upstairs. They rang the doorbell. My kids, "Dad, somebody's outside the porch." I was in the middle of a meeting with a problem client where things are on fire and they're not happy. And like, we have had to have up the chain management come in and like talk them down from being pissed off at people. And I come outside and they're like, "Hey, yeah." So I'm like, "Get to the fucking point." And it's like, okay. So we're doing the, I'm like, I'm in the middle of a meeting. I go by.
Yep.
It's just like, okay. Nope. Like, I fucking steamrolled that guy. It was just like, cause he started with his pitch. I was like, "Skip to the fucking end. Like, come on."
God damn it.
Yeah.
This is nothing new. It's just the newest iteration of it.
I bought a house, and I'm getting 1,000 letters for mortgage insurance.
Are you already getting those? Your insurance is about to expire.
Yes,
letters.
And that's the thing, is they're not even like, "Hey, we'd like to offer you this thing. It's a service. Contact us if you're interested."
It's going to expire
in an envelope, right? That's a red envelope.
Yep.
That's like, this blah 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 due immediately.
Yep.
I like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Fuck off with your scummy shit.
I got so many of those letters where it was like expiration date soon.
Yeah.
And it was like
the one that I was thinking
you don't actually know.
Jenna's experience earlier.
With
house. My mom's house.
Yeah.
Fuck. The house that I couldn't actually legally sell to anybody, but I was getting people knocking on my goddamn door, people messaging my landlord, people knocking on my father's door. Not my mother's ex-husband of like 30 something years at that point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just trying to hunt me or my brother down to have us sell a house that we couldn't legally sell. Was insane. But I mean, here's the thing. So there is a difference between the human condition, what we as people do, like the whatever inclination it is, that that shitty grossness to like just get your sale or get your whatever, get the, the thing. There's a difference between that and the tools that they use to do it. Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I have no problems with algorithms. I don't have any difficulties with AI, SEO shit. What? I don't care. Those are just tools.
Mm-hmm.
We as human beings are using them poorly.
Yeah.
And that's the fucking issue.
Yeah. Right? I agree.
And I mean, this is one of those things that I expand out into like religion or institutionalism or military or anything like that. Those are just concepts, really. They're nouns. They're tools. And we as human beings use those concepts so poorly sometimes. Sometimes they can be used well. I know of like help desk situation type things using chat AI where you limit the exposure that the AI has to just the documentation or whatever it is you're looking for, making it more of like a conversational index or Google as opposed to like, you know, some kind of fucking any answer off the internet will do. Yeah. Like, no.
it becomes like, a 4chan thread.
Right? Oh. There are ways to use these tools appropriately. And a lot of human beings just don't, to the credit, maybe many of them might not understand. Right? It's it's kind of, we did a huge jump in technology, and there are a lot of people older than us that just don't get it. But there are also some people that completely do understand, and they're like, I'm going to use this tool to get as many views as possible for branding and possible clicks and make a few extra sales that I wouldn't have normally, even if it's traumatic for those that... But well, how would I know, right?
Like, I am strongly reminded of something.
It's just like the movie trope of, you know, an inventor invents something and the next thing is the military is knocking on his door wanting to turn it into a weapon.
Right.
You know, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
James? What I'm reminded of is KPIs. For those not in the... who have never been to the sixth circle of hell... those are key performance indicators or key performance indices, which are the metrics used to determine whether you are micromanaging your employees not enough or exactly the right amount. Too much is never indicated on the KPIs. And depending on what a company picks for their performance metrics and the things that they pay attention to and coach on and the, you know, drive, they will get different results. If you say you need a certain number of 99% satisfaction on average with your customer responses, people are going to spend fucking 10 of their 15 minutes coaching the caller on how to fill out that form and give them a 5 out of 5. They're going to, they're going to give that person free shit. They're going to tell that person whatever they want to hear.
They're going to spend as much time as possible getting a good result. Meanwhile, 7 other people are waiting in line to be served.
But if you tell them that the metric that you want is the number of calls, they will find a different way around it.
When,
like Jenna, you're saying like that they're not considering a certain aspect of it. I think that's completely correct. But I also feel like, especially with our technology and how many layers deep we are into it, that it is unlikely that someone will keep up with the speed of change and consider all the angles. And that's the whole point of like 2600, the Hacker Quarterly, is people talking about like, how do you get Google search results on your site without paying for Google API, without paying for webhooks and for personalized search results and all of that stuff. How do you get the thing without doing the other thing? How do you, and people who are doing Twitch streaming, how do you get viewers? People who are doing OnlyFans, how do you get people there looking at the thing without, and just maximize the performance indicator to push you to the top? That's why Google's search engine optimization, SEO, their algorithm is such a tightly regarded secret, and there are still people who are paid millions of dollars a year to do nothing except figure out how to game that system to put Pepsi higher than Coke.
Yeah, and it's all gross.
It is. It's fucking disgusting.
I'm going to have, speaking of Twitch and stuff like that, I'm going to have another old man moment.
You about to bitch about Twitch? Because I will fight you.
No, actually, it was a YouTube. It was a YouTube thing. My son YouTube. Likes Go watching ahead. These the YouTube. He likes watching these YouTube gamers play like Minecraft and stuff like that. And I come in the room and it's just like, why are they shouting?
All of them. All of them are constantly shouting.
All they're doing is shouting at the top of their lungs. I'm like, why? Why are they shouting so much? And my son was totally me when I was his age. Just like, I don't know, Dad. It's just the way things are. And I'm just like, we can hear them. They don't need to shout. Why are they shouting? And I was like, I am my dad now in this
Rachel's
moment.
Child was showing me some of his very favorite Roblox YouTube videos. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is this whole segment wasn't so much about advertising. This was about Salsa being an old man yelling at clouds.
Sure. Yeah. do you have other things that you would like to?
So many. I have become yelling at kids to get off his lawn.
Next time on Apropos of Nothing, we discuss whether or not Twitch is an MLM. Thank you for joining us today.
I was going to say, like, our second segment is now just going to be Old Man Yells at Clouds.
It's a great segment.
You know what? I've got a lot of them.
Excellent. Good. Because
he's an old man, and there are lots of
them. A little sad. So this is your job now, Salsa.
Look,
did you just volunteer? I feel like you just volunteered.
Oh, dead. Do you know what grinds my gears?
Yes.
All right. I think we should take a break.
That's fair.
Fair enough.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
What are we doing here?
I don't know. Man, I've already had a week, and I've got much more of a week to go, and what the fuck?
What?
I mean, I like drinking. That's kind of nice.
Drinking. That's what we're doing here on
this
planet.
I like drinking. For science.
We exist on this planet to drink.
That's why I exist on this planet.
We are the way that the universe experiences itself drinking alcohol.
Yay.
And also answering Fast Fives. And we're back. Fast I'm Salsa. Five.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
We got there. Don't worry.
Listeners, you have no idea how long this took. But we got there.
Sometimes some of these are just for us.
Yeah, if you think our episodes are too long, imagine all the stuff we cut out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... ChatGPT.
Oh, speaking of which.
Oh, how apropos is that?
Very
apropos. Speak of the internet devil.
Right?
Oh.
The chat GPT.
Oh, God.
Huh?
They're going to make me read a thing. Opening thoughts. Greetings, apropos-ters. In the shadows, I've been watching. A haunting presence always stalking. With chilling whispers in the night, I'll be your eerie, haunting fright. Through the mist and through the haze, I'll be lurking in mysterious ways. Beware, for I'm the one who creeps in your dreams where darkness seeps. So as you walk this haunted land, just know I'm close at hand. Apropos-ters, don't you see, you'll never truly be free. From the darkness I emerge, a chilling voice that makes you verge. On the edge of fear and fright, as I roam through the endless night. So tread carefully, my dear friend, for my presence I won't suspend. Apropos-ters, don't be misled. You're entangled in the webs I spread.
I have concerns.
I mean,
I have.
I think that was the point.
Oh, is this like when I made everybody cry with Duck's Show?
I didn't cry with Duck's Show.
James did, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He didn't
James cries at a lot of things.
Right. Like, that was a low bar, but I was glad to clear it.
Okay. Yeah, that just means that if it doesn't make me cry, just like not making me laugh, if something doesn't make me laugh, then it really sucks.
I was actually, for that last show, sitting next to somebody, like one of our big burly fighter friends.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I loved sitting next to him because every once in a while I could hear. I was like, yes.
Ha ha, gotcha, bitch.
Excellent.
All right. Question number one. Top hat or space suit?
Top hat or space suit? I'm going to say the context is fashion or function.
Ooh, function.
And generally, I try to do both. However, if I am unable to do both, I will go for function over fashion the majority of the time. So I'm going to say spacesuit.
I love me a top hat. Don't get me wrong. But here's what I think the context might be.
All right.
Lincoln or Kennedy?
Fuck. Yeah, no, that would be a Lincoln. Like, if that's the context, that's where I would go.
Was his a top hat or a stovepipe hat?
Technically, it was a stovepipe hat, but everybody is like top hat. Like, that's what people associate with him, regardless of accuracy.
Yeah. The line between the two is like a porter or a stout. They're both kind of the same thing. It's just kind of whatever you want to call it.
Huh. I was thinking that the context might be which speculative fiction, and especially like retro-futuristic thing, do you think is a better setting for a tabletop game, steampunk or like spacepunk?
Oh, that's also a valid interpretation of this.
Like,
yeah, but I don't think either is better. I'd probably enjoy steampunk more, but like, I feel like you have a lot of different opportunities with both for various definitions.
I mean, a lot of things are better than steampunk.
I love my steampunk, and you shut your whore mouth.
I love steampunk, and I feel like we hit it super hard. I feel
like it's like that one song that gets played over and over again on the radio.
Yeah.
That's actually really good, but you're just desensitized to it after a while. No, I agree.
Yeah. With that. So I kind of think that we've done a little bit of Ray Gun Gothic stuff. But I really feel like there is a lot more that we could do with reviving that aesthetic just as a revival, I guess. So I'm gonna go spacesuit.
All right. Question number two.
Two.
Theremin or bagpipes?
Hmm.
I want to learn to play a theremin so hard. Like, I got to fuck around with one once, and it was so much fun. I am fine with listening to somebody practice the theremin.
Mm-hmm.
I have difficulties listening to someone learn how to play the bagpipes.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned how to play violin. I know there's a learning curve, and I know you're not going to be good right away, but I also know nobody enjoyed that process of me learning how to play violin. So, whereas the theremin, whatever. It's not super loud. It doesn't screech. It just doesn't sound like what you want it to sound like.
Yeah, so. It's got a volume knob.
Yeah. So I'm going to go theremin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just fun.
Yeah, this is really going to hinge on if it's a positive or a negative.
There is that.
Which annoying instrument would you rather learn, or do you secretly like, or which annoying instrument is more annoying, or which direction?
I mean, I do love good bagpipe. Like, good bagpipe is real fucking solid.
I still prefer like an Illen pipe to a bagpipe, but
sure.
I don't mind theremin, but it just doesn't do it for me.
Oh yeah,
so I'm gonna go bagpipe.
It's like listening to somebody play the saw. Like, it can be at its very best. It feels like a novelty. Unless it's used in extremely specific circumstances.
Yeah.
I love theremin, but it is for me expressly for playing behind 1950s science fiction movies.
Mm-hmm.
And also using as a backing track to insult conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. No, that absolutely.
I would love for there to be a giant mutant alien monster appearing, like lumbering down the ramp of a UFO to bagpipe. That would crack me the fuck up. I'm ready for it. I'm going to say bagpipe. Just to like, oh,
I
no,
feel like
the hatch is opening. Yeah. I'm ready. I'm fucking
I feel
fucking
like
ready
that's,
for it.
I feel like there was a Doctor Who episode like that way back in the 50s, but
would not surprise me.
Yeah. And it's probably because somebody found a bagpipe in a trash can somewhere.
Well, no, some of the old like Jamie was one of the old Doctor Who.
Yeah. He was extremely Scottish. Yeah.
Yeah. Companions, things like that. Anyway. Yeah. I'm going to go with bagpipes, I think. All right. Question number 3. Dinosaurs or disco?
You have my dinosaurs. I've got to go dinosaurs.
Now I want to see what kind of video game Dinosaur Elysium is. Also, it's a dinosaur ball. Sounds like a party. Everybody dressed in dino onesies.
A dinosaur ball is just, okay, turn your head and eat this cow.
Huh. Is it?
No.
Okay.
I'm just thinking of dinosaur testicles. You heard
All right. Did dinosaurs have they're not mammals.
No, that's why you had to give them truck nuts.
Oh, yeah.
I think anybody has to give truck nuts to anybody. Let's be super clear on that point.
No, but anybody who's willing to use truck nuts, I encourage to try to put them on a dinosaur.
Okay, T-Rex, I'll go with you on
truck
that
nuts
one.
Is my all ironic Creed and Puddle of Mud cover band.
No, T-Rex truck nuts is who did the Cotton Eye Joe
Rednecks song?
Redneck is my Rednecks cover band.
That's
all right.
That's pretty great. Yeah,
that is pretty great. Yeah.
They had a whole album called Sex and Violins.
I smell sex and violins. Yeah.
Who's that playing violins?
Who's that casting devious stares in Vivaldi's direction?
Mama, this surely.
Question number four. I don't even know if I don't know if we all answered, but I just wanted to move on.
I don't care. Yeah.
I'm gonna.
I do not care.
Disco.
Yeah, dinosaur.
Disco. All right. Because question number four: Aqua Fluff or Sparkle Fin?
Sparkle Fin, because sparkles.
I don't. Do those mean like anything to you at all?
Nope.
Mermaid pet names?
I don't know.
Yeah. Who's like, my little aqua fluff? Who's my little aqua fluff?
Yeah, like a dogfish or something.
Man, there are some mermaids out there that are real mad at you right now.
For giving them pets?
For giving them pet names. Oh, you meant names for their pets.
Right.
Not pet names. Those are different things.
I would keep
I audibly mermaid. Placed the hyphen somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that audible. It was not that
I would love a Fiji mermaid.
That sounds like a drink.
It should be.
No, it's a sideshow attraction.
I'm aware. I've been to Ripley's.
But it believe sounds it or not, like but... a drink.
I am going to make that now. Fiji.
Yeah.
What would that be rum or would that be?
It'd have to be rum.
I think it'd have to be rum.
Well, if it's Fiji, it's got to be some kind of tropical fruit. So Jenna's out unless we choose something Jenna can eat.
I can have lychee. It's not tropical, but that goes with Fiji.
Yeah.
I think.
You know. Pacific.
Ooh, kava. It would have to have kava.
I don't know if I can have kava.
Okay.
Unlikely, but, you know, don't let me...
Oh, here we go. Coconut. That'll be fine.
For fuck's sake.
I knew it.
Yeah, I knew it.
Oh, yeah, it should be... Oh, it would be perfect if it... Because pineapple kind of looks like a mermaid tail with the... The little
well, and the coconut and, is and as always have, the so boob it could be, covers.
It could be half coconut, half pineapple. Why hasn't anybody ever made a drink like that?
Oh, that
anyway,
sounds fantastic.
Moving on, the
and again the mermaids with the coconut bras. That's makes
no, nope.
Yeah,
that's not mermaids.
Nope, that's totally no. Yep.
Mermaids have seashells.
That's sometimes, what you're thinking.
But they also have coconuts.
No,
I bet you I can find a picture online.
Oh, I'm sure that you can. Okay. But
Anita has
like,
done that. But
the
like
hula aesthetic,
hula and like, Polynesian coconut bra thing.
Yes, that's what you're thinking.
That's a different thing.
No, I'm thinking of the mermaid with the coconut bras.
That one mermaid. I don't even know who you'd be referring to, honestly.
I'm sure they exist.
I'm sure they exist too because people are idiots.
Yes.
Because the real
standard.
Because
it doesn't make it a standard salsa.
They're not real, Jenna.
I went through
it doesn't
stigma.
Fucking.
And
I can say
anything that
no,
I learned is that if you have outliers,
made
if
of,
you have outliers, they do not
they
contribute
have bras
to the
made
overall
of
statistics
truck tires.
Of that specific situation.
That's as real as the seashells.
I want to meet a mermaid with truck tire bra. Like that's.
I'm sure somebody threw a truck tire in the ocean and they said, this will make a great bra. And they chopped it up and they made a truck tire bra. It's just as realistic as a seashell. Cause
well,
it's not.
James, this weekend, you should visit the mermaids and
I'll talk to them about it. I'll see.
That. I'm just saying, if you are able to find one outlier example of this existing, that does not necessitate
right.
a standard. That is
I
my
never
point.
Said standard. Who said standard?
One
I didn't
swallow
say
does
standard.
Not make a summer.
You,
oh
I didn't
God.
Say standard. You brought a whole standardized thing into this for a fictional thing.
Yeah, a standardized fictional thing.
Oh, my right. God.
Seashells are said a anything about standardized standard. Fictional aspect of these standardized mm-hmm. fictional characters.
I didn't say yes. anything about standardized.
So,
no, the rest of the planet looks at mermaids in a standardized way.
The rest of the planet? I don't care about the rest of the planet.
Fuck people.
I really don't give a shit about this.
I'm Salsa. I don't care about people. I'm going to come up with my own esoteric bullshit and try to peddle that as realistic. Okay,
look,
fine.
I would rather a big-tittied woman that can only fit in coconuts. Because if you can cover it with seashells, they need to be bigger. That's
Hold
what I'm
up.
Saying.
Hold
I'm
up.
Not objectifying them enough, is what Here, I'm saying.
No, what I was going to say is, can we all agree on big-tittied women?
Yes.
Like, I like small-tittied women, too. But, like, mm-hmm. we can all agree on big-tittied women, right?
I mean, look at my wife, yes.
Yeah, pillow boobies for days.
I mean, I feel like we can just agree on titties.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually,
I'm down.
Yeah. All
Besides,
right.
a real mermaid probably wouldn't have covering at all.
Oh, my fucking God.
They'd just be naked.
I don't.
Swimming in the ocean blue.
I have an Oglef comic to send you.
Not flopping in the breeze, because they're not in the breeze, but bobbing in the ocean.
No, that's why they have to contain them. Otherwise, it's like a flotation device, and it just lifts them up.
Yeah, pushing them down definitely changes the
mm-hmm. the buoyancy rotation. Changes if you put them in a
it shifts
seashell.
Actually
it shifts the center of thing. Your buoyancy. So if, fuck off.
And that's how Cartesian divers work. It does.
Yeah.
When you compress right? the buoyant area compared to the surface,
which a seashell is going to do?
I mean,
well, yeah, if you compress it hard enough. Depends on the
This is why
you're
you
using.
Use a coconut shell.
The fucked up thing is that
this is how
coverage. Submarines work.
Not about coverage.
Moving on. Aqua fluff or sparkle fin. neither one of this makes any sense to me, so I'm going aqua fluff, I guess.
Sparkle fin.
If I were going to be on a water polo team and I had a choice between being on the aqua fluff team or the sparkle fin team, I think I'd probably pick sparkle fin. It sounds cooler.
Yes,
but maybe I don't want to sound cool. Maybe I'm okay with sounding fluffy.
Question fluff. Number five.
Five, 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 five.
Oh, Jenna.
Yo, this is getting you back for the mermaid bullshit.
He had like forgotten.
No, he hadn't.
Oh. I didn't hear him, so.
He
wasabi,
actually said it just a half a step behind me, so.
Wasabi or rainstorm?
Y'all remember when I did the wasabi challenge for that one fucking 501? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So, die laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Jess and I were emceeing together because mm-hmm. mother-daughter adorableness. And our hosting challenge was for every $100, I would take a dollop of wasabi and she would try a sushi.
Mm-hmm.
She does not like sushi. It is not mm-hmm. a pleasant experience for her. And we started her with like California
sushi,
and a Philly and a, you know, all of those and like built up to like sea urchin. Anyway,
I don't like sea urchin.
Yeah, well, that's why that was the top of the tier, right? Yeah. We did, in fact, raise $1,000 over that. But we got in a rush of donations at the same time, so I had to do 5 dollops of wasabi.
Woof.
Pea size. That was the stipulation. It has to be pea size.
Yep.
Oh, buddy. Sinuses were clear for
I believe
weeks
it.
After that.
Yeah, you were able to smell like the undercarriage of the car 3 blocks away.
But here's the thing. Much like when I tried to quit smoking by hotboxing it, like there were a few days of nope, never doing that again. And then after that, I started craving it more. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just fucking in love with wasabi.
she snorts wasabi like cocaine.
Yeah, absolutely.
She bring out the wasabi and she gets out the razor blade in the mirror.
Yep. Absolutely. Look, I've got a lot of allergies that happen this time of the year. Ragweed's kicking up.
You're not wrong.
My eyes have been itching for days, but my sinuses.
You go this scorched earth method of allergy mitigation.
No, because I could sniffle for months on end, or I could burn for 2 days and be fine for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, I fucking burn that shit down, motherfucker. I'm good.
I love it. Absolutely love
it. So I guess I'm going wasabi.
I'm doing wasabi.
I'll go wasabi. I do too.
Wasabi all around.
All right. So we get to the context here. Question number one, top hat or space suit? Oh, I think James had it the closest. Time travel attire.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, not this. No, this wasn't actually steampunk. This was just Victorian, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time travel attire.
I do love Victorian. I'm not going to lie. I may have done a play once called Wilhelmina and Theodore's Exquisite Victorian Adventure, which was Bill and Ted's set to Victorian times. So I think I still have to, I have to switch over to top hat, I guess.
I'm going to switch to spacesuit.
Keeping spacesuit.
All right.
All right. Question number two, theremin or bagpipes? Oh. Musical instrument selection for an alien band.
Theremin.
That would be theremin.
Theremin. All the way theremin.
Yep.
Now I want to hear the Cantina Band song played on bagpipes.
Listeners, make that happen.
Except
better than that. Good.
Hopefully. All right.
Question number three. Dinosaurs.
That wasn't even a bagpipe, goddammit.
Yeah. Question number three. Dinosaurs or disco? This is not.
When I say disco,
context.
You say party. Disco.
Planning a time traveling adventure.
Okay.
So you want to go to the Jurassic era or any of those other.
Oh, definitely disco.
Dinosaur? Or do you want to just go back to.
Human times.
Disco. Because all of the drugs and sex.
I mean, you didn't have me with the first part.
Okay, as long as I am absolutely positively 100% certain not to get stuck with the dinosaurs, I do want to see them.
As long as I'm not 100% as long as I am 100% guaranteed that I'm not going to be stuck with the disco, I would want to see.
What the hell kind of earworm would that be? I am so sorry. Like, shit, man. That's not okay.
It's like listening to I Will Survive on loop for the rest of my life.
You know there are more disco songs than that one song, right?
Not as far as I'm concerned.
I Will Survive and Staying Alive are not the only, like, disco songs. It was a whole, like, era, right?
No,
like, you I'm know aware. That, right?
Yes, I am. I am aware.
I don't understand.
Okay, well, that's good, because
never
we're
heard
moving
of
on.
Now Aqua I want Fluff, Klingon Disco.
Oh, Aqua Fluff or Sparklefin.
Okay.
Naming a new species of underwater creature.
I was Sparklefin. Weirdly close.
Aqua Fluff.
Sparklefin.
See, my problem is it depends on what the new species looks like.
Oh, James, are you telling me there's a depends in your choices? Are you telling me that you can't pick because there's not
because
enough information?
Because you have adult incontinency?
Are you telling me adult incontinence?
Yeah, because there's a depends.
Because it depends. Are you telling me that your preferences might factor into account other, like, situational things? Is that
now that
I've
thought about it, I think it's sparkle fins. Because no matter what, that fucking thing probably has fins of some kind.
They discovered a new underwater species just like.
a week ago and it didn't have fins. Have you not seen this?
No, I haven't. Did it sparkle?
No.
Well, then it should be aqua fluff.
It was like a weird, like, jellyfishy looking thing, except it was not jelly. And it was like called a sea strawberry something or something.
Was it the thing that had the three elbows up on top and it like moved like a jellyfish, but it had
a feathery bunch of arms and then a whole bunch of longer arms.
Oh, no, that's not the one that I saw, but that's definitely an aqua fluff.
Yeah, that is absolutely an aqua fluff.
All right, aqua fluff.
So, question number five, wasabi or rainstorm? Creating an unconventional ice cream flavor.
Ooh.
I think wasabi already is.
I think wasabi is an unconventional ice cream flavor already. I believe I've had wasabi ice cream.
I haven't, but I wanted to. Rainstorm was the other option.
Hmm. Yeah, rainstorm.
Yeah, I want to know what a rainstorm tastes like.
Hmm.
Like, here's the thing. I'm not a huge fan of watermelon, which is sad because it's the only melon I can eat. But I feel like a rainstorm has watermelon as one of its elements.
Huh.
Right? Kind of that watery vibe, but with a little something.
Not the artificial watermelon flavor.
No. Actual watermelon flavor. Fucking watermelon. So like, I feel like a rainstorm would have to have some watermelon in it, but that's not enough, right? There's something else going on there. Something, I don't want to say smoky, maybe a little peaty, but something in that more grounding kind of flavor.
I was going to say dark chocolate.
Nope, too much.
All right.
No, it's got to be. Unless you're going to go super light on the chocolate, like a cocoa powder thing, you want the rain to come through, not the earth, right?
Right.
The
cocoa. I'm saying a touch of that. I'm saying actual blueberry flavor, and then a citrus flavor, but not not something like sharp and sour, but just something like bright, mm-hmm.
Like a mango or a kiwi.
Yeah, kiwi. Are
those citrus? Those aren't citrus.
I'm trying to think of what the teeny tiny like little lemon oranges are, and the only thing that's coming to mind is palmettos, and I don't think that's correct.
See, I'm thinking thing. More like something soft, like a passion fruit or you know, what are those called?
Passion fruit might be a good mix in there.
Could definitely be in there.
I could see that. Yeah. So, yeah, I'll go with dark chocolate, blueberry, and passion fruit for a rainstorm.
Meyer lemons are a lemon orange hybrid.
Hmm. There's a different one. There's something that starts with a P and it's a citrus fruit.
Papaya?
Is it a citrus?
Still not a citrus.
I think it's not a citrus fruit. It's a tropical fruit, but not a citrus fruit.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't, yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, I got nothing for you off the top of my Google foo.
Go ahead and Google Antarctic strawberry feather star. That is the new species.
That actually just came up as soon as I typed in Antarctic. So that's holy fuck. You're an aqua fluff.
Yep.
Oh my God. Antarctic strawberry feather star. So that's the one that was just discovered.
Yep.
No, between the two of them, that is an aqua fluff. It is not a sparkle fin.
Yep. So, and James is like, it's going to have fins. No, no, it's not.
It doesn't actually. God damn it.
No. Yeah. Fair enough.
I lost. Where was I? That was the last one. So, closing thoughts.
Hooray!
Dear Apriposters,
I extend my sincere apologies for not being able to fully grasp the extent of your job and provide the assistance you needed. As an AI language model, I strive to be as helpful as possible, but there are limitations to my understanding.
Right.
If there's anything specific you'd like to clarify, or if you have any other questions, please don't hesitate to reach out again. We didn't reach out in the first place. I'm here to learn and improve.
Yeah, we did. We asked for Fast Fives.
I do my best to better understand your needs in the future.
That's true.
Thank you for your understanding, and I appreciate your patience. Best regards, ChatGPT.
I'm loving these ChatGPT questions. Okay.
They're very weird.
They're weird, and I like it.
Hello? Did I lose yep. you?
Oh, no. Did Salsa disappear?
Damn it, they're time traveling. Time traveling.
Space suit.
Time traveling?
Shit.
Oh, space Stop suit. At. Fuck yeah.
Space suit.
I mean, we can see you just fine, Salsa, but I don't think you can hear us. Yeah, he's about to text us.
Right there they are. People you're back.
Oh, yeah. You're back. Actually, we could see you, we could hear you, we could everything.
Oh, really? Yep. You could. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you heard everything. I just
even those plots. Yeah, that I have concerns over.
All right. I came back and you were both frozen and I was like, "Oh no."
Mm.
So.
Okay. No. You're the one that was frozen. Actually, you weren't even frozen. We could see you. I was like, and now Salsa's reaching for his phone to be like, oh, and we're back. Okay. Like,
yeah, I was about to message.
Fun with that.
About to message hell. Anyway, thank you so very much to whoever the fuck is sending these things.
Yay, ChatGPT.
I'm not thanking ChatGPT. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, go to AONpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast Five, and fill out the form. That's it. Does anybody have a shout out?
I have a million shout outs, so let me go real quick.
You get one.
I'm combining them all into one thing. I want to give a shout out to the staff of the Minnesota Fringe for producing a fucking Fringe Festival. It is a fucking clusterfuck every year, and somehow it still manages to happen. I want to give a shout out to the technicians, to the house staff, to the volunteers, to all of the people that are not recognized as artists in general that make this shit go. Holy fuck, you guys. A special place in my heart for technicians, because they're the ones I get to interact with for making my vision happen. But Jesus Christ, like all of these incredibly talented people that don't get recognized as talented, they fucking are. And fuck you if you thought differently. So shout out to those people. I want to give a shout out to audience members. Oh my God. Audiences are what makes the Fringe Festival a festival. We actually our ensemble, me, Duck, and CJ, we gave an award to some audience members who are just kind of like hardcore audience members. And they always show up to shows and they're like, would you like some chocolate? And they just have candy for everybody. And it's delightful. I want to give a shout out to CJ for being one of the best goddamn support people out there. And I definitely have to give a shout out to Duck just for including me in his show, for trusting me to uphold his vision while shining an extra perspective on it. To trust me when I said, no, this is what you want. And then it turned out I was right. And just to Duck's performance and writing and concept and all of that in general, that show was absolutely incredible. And I was just honored to be a part of it. That's what I got. It's all Fringe related, so it's only one. That's what I've decided.
Shout out to someone who is potentially my new therapist. My existing therapist is moving into a private practice of his own. And because it is so extraordinarily difficult to get insurance processing, I've lined up in a lot of different fields, but especially in the mental health provider profession. The expense of going and seeing him once would be several months of regular visits with a different therapist. And so I am sad to not be continuing with him because I've been working with him now for 3 years.
Oh, but buddy.
I am also really super pumped about this new therapist. They seem super cool. And they were listing off all of the subject and like niche things that they get into, and it was like going down a checklist. So
nice. Oh, that always feels good.
Really excited. I'm also really grateful to the therapists I've been working with for the last several years. So shout out to therapists in general and mental health providers, but very personally, very specifically, the folks that I've worked with have been fucking fantastic. So thank
you.
Nice. Awesome.
I'm going to give my shout out to
procrastination.
Also that. I mean, at the risk of repeating myself a lot, my wife,
that's fair.
With all of everything been going on, has been a huge help. Getting everything set up, getting Refest ready, and you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So. And she's just awesome.
I also just want to give my thumbs up to you on that one. Just a little bonus boop on that.
Boop.
Shout out, because yeah, she's doing incredible work.
She's great. All right. Does anybody have anything to plug?
A Renaissance Festival. Come do fencing. The end. Mm-hmm.
Come see Casimir.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any final thoughts?
Last call at 5:30 on Saturdays.
Oh, there you go.
Parting thoughts are bye-bye, love you, bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this thing. Thank you. I'm not thanking chatbot. Thank you to whoever has been sending in these chatbot things. on behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.